Hi, I'm Susie Starlight.
And I'm Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band.
A warm welcome to the Supertone Show.
Vaughan. Holy moly, 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 moly.
He sounded like Last Note Lucy then. He just carried on.
It was funny. We were waiting for it to come up. But what an incredible guitar sound. You're not clean. No guitar players. Listen to me. Play cleaner. It's amazing. Of course, you've got to be able to really play to play that clean. But he was using some vibraverbs, Fender vibraverbs, and of course a mighty Dumble steel string slinger. Try saying that. Try saying that for a few pints. And that was 150 watt, but it was so incredibly loud. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I didn't realise that Jackson Browne was actually responsible for hooking them up to
and
get a record deal. It was odd. He saw them play with Stevie Ray and Double Trouble at the Montreux Jazz Festival back in 1982. And he offered them three free studio days in his own personal recording studio back in LA. So they went over there, set a day for setting up, recorded the demos in 2 days. And they were all like, they all set up in a circle, and they play recorded live together,
of
they
course.
Were saying.
And you can hear it.
Yeah. And so, and that's the thing, because it gets you, doesn't it? The energy out of that song is fantastic.
And tight.
Yeah.
My goodness me.
Just beautiful.
Incredible, you know? And it's the band as well. I mean, it just had, they've obviously been playing a lot live, you know?
Yeah. So that's from the album Texas Flood, which was released in 83 on Epic Records. And if you haven't heard it, check it out.
Well, the first time I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan, very sadly, was on China Girl by David Bowie.
Course.
That's right. Yeah, because he plays that great solo in the middle. It's only a few notes, but I thought, who the hell is this? And then, apparently, the producer, Nile Rodgers.
We love Nile.
We certainly do. He, you know, he said, you've got to have this guy on the record. And David Bowie, who's always had an eye for a great guitar player, you know, he's always had great guitar players' records.
Yeah.
Earl Slick, he had, everybody. Robert Fripp, Reeves Gabriels, Ronson, of course, you know, all this catalogue of great. And of course, on this one, he had Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's when I first heard him. And I thought, my goodness, I need to check this guy out.
1980s, though, he was apparently responsible for revitalising the blues scene.
Oh, he certainly was, yeah. I remember, it's such excitement, you know. I went to see him live at the Apollo and his gear kept blowing up because, of course, I think they brought it all across and they were on 120 volts and, it was absolute, and it kept going off and it was very, very sad because
That's
it really couldn't
done.
Get going, yeah. But, you know, but anyway, I saw him and he was great and rest in peace.
Oh, my tears, it felt like rain. Don't you hear it? Don't you hear the ball?
Mighty Led Zeppelin, and Since I've Been Loving You.
Jimmy Page's finest guitar solo.
You think so?
Absolutely. I love the one off No Quarter, but this, it's sensitive. He's got a great sound. I love the composition of the song. It's a blues song. And some fool from Rolling Stone said at the time when it was released that it was a dull 7-minute blues, a blues jam. The man should be just...
Sacked.
Sacked immediately.
Yeah.
And Terry Manning said it was that, who produced it. Engineered, because Jimmy Page produced it, of course, like all the Led Zeppelin stuff. But he said it was the greatest guitar solo of all time. And, you know, I actually really think it is. It's absolutely beautiful, you know. It's inspirational.
It's funny, isn't it? Because that is a slow blues in the key of C.
Minor.
Indeed.
Yeah,
got to be careful about the minor.
Oh, yeah.
Changes the whole feel, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, well, it does, yeah. But, of course, you get that minor-major duality in old blues. But let's not go on about that. But the squeaky drum pedal made an appearance in that. The squeakiest drum pedal in the universe.
The Squeak King. Apparently, because of John Bonham, he was renowned for this drum pedal he used for his entire career. He was squeaked. And that apparently, you can hear it on excessive squeaking. Well, on some recordings, and especially on that particular track as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: his playing is mighty. And you see, with that track, what I love about it, the whole band really shine because Jean-Paul Jones shows his fantastic multi-instrumentalism. You know,
yeah.
And on that whole album, because he plays mandolin, he's such a great musician, Jean-Paul Jones. And on there, he's playing bass pedals and the Hammond. You know, and it's a great Hammond sound. It's a great part, you know.
Yeah.
Bonham is mighty because, you know, when you listen to it, it's a slow blues, but he literally attacks the drums. He doesn't play them, he attacks them, you know. And the fills are so beautiful. The vocal's great, you know. It's just a masterful song. Well, I love Led Zeppelin.
Do you know what's interesting about that album is that... because when I grew up, Robert Plant used to be down my local, the Hope and Anchor in Ross, quite a bit. And I never really knew how wonderful, almighty Led Zeppelin were, because I was into disco and folk music, really. And it was a different generation for me. It wasn't really on my radar.
Oh, dear.
And I know. It's. I've got to be honest about it.
And you've been to parties Rockfield Studios?
Yeah,
with
I did.
Him.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's that guy that was in that band. It's bad, isn't it? Well, I'm just because anyway, I'm a level kind of person. I meet people. That's what I do. I don't meet stars. I don't meet celebrity status. I'm really not interested in all that really. What I loved about this, though, is after the tour, they went, him and Jimmy Page hired a cottage in Wales that had no electricity. So when they were writing together for this album, a lot of it was written on acoustic instrumentation.
Yeah. Was that Bronnie Orr? Is that what it was
called? Yes, I'm glad you know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, because it, of course, made an appearance as a song, you know, later on in the career. But, yeah, anyway,
good
Led
on them.
Zeppelin, you can't
we
argue
We love
with
Led
it.
Zeppelin.
Yeah, and it's a
they
proper
rock.
Blues. They certainly do, and they can play the blues. Humble Pie, Natural Born Boogie. I'm not quite sure why it's not called Natural Born Woman anyway, but of course, Steve Marriott of ex-Small Faces fame,
yeah,
and Peter Frampton I was playing guitar on that. Mighty stuff indeed. Great groove. And, you know, and I think they were all taking turns on the vocals on that. You know, you can hear, certainly Marriott, of course, and Peter Frampton.
That was 1969 as well.
No.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, I love that song. And what I love is when I see men dancing to that song as well, and singing along with the chorus.
Yeah.
It's a really, people love it, don't they?
Yeah.
They love that song.
Yeah, it's great. You know?
What I didn't realise as well is that they signed to Immediate, which is a record label run by Andrew Luke Oldham, which is the manager of the Rolling Stones. So he was like, this Immediate label was focusing on the London blues scene, and they signed people like Rod Stewart and Savoy Brown, as well as the Small Faces, Fleetwood Mac and Mr. Chris Farlow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, our drummer, Steve, the star at Camel Band, he plays with Chris, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Chris
he does, Farlow, yeah.
And Norman Beaker and various other people.
He's played with Jack Bruce as well.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Yeah.
Very illustrious man who can play as a mean and badass shuffle.
Shuffle.
He can certainly shuffle.
He's a shuffle meister.
He certainly is, yeah. Anyway.
Talking about Jack Bruce.
Thinking about the times you drove in my car. Thinking that I might have drove you too far. And I'm thinking about the love that you laid on my table. I told you not to wander around in the dark. I told you about the swans that they live in the park. Then I told you about our kid, now he's married to Mabel.
Badge by Cream.
The power trio.
Indeed.
Great song. Great song, actually. The thing about Cream stuff is that everybody thinks it's sort of kind of bluesy, but it's not. It's actually quite harmonically and the writing is quite complex. And I think that was down to Jack Bruce, because Jack Bruce was a bit of a jazzer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something about those songs that are quite different. And they have a certain richness to them. And when Clapton was playing that as well, or all this Cream stuff, I found his guitar playing a little bit clunky, really, because he was using quite clunky sort of chords, but they sort of work, you know. And that bit of Leslie in the middle of that is inspiration, of course. I mean, that lovely centre section, you know, which he's playing through a Leslie, which is a rotating speaker cap,
yeah,
which you normally use on a Hammond organ. which heard in Led Zeppelin before.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just beautifully tonally rich, and the lyrics are always dead unusual as well.
They are a bit strange, and I actually find their lyrics a bit clunky, a bit odd. That song was co-written with George Harrison, by the way, with Eric Clapton.
No.
Yeah, because what happened was they all had to write songs for the Goodbye album, for the final album, and they were hanging out together, so they were writing, and he wrote Bridge on as part of the song, and Eric looked up apparently and said, "What's badge or something?" Chuckled, and so that's because he misread his writing because it was upside down.
No.
And then apparently a drunk Ringo Starr rocked into the room and gave him the line about the swans in the park.
No,
because he was pissed. Yeah. So, but it's odd, isn't it? But I've those other stories of when Jack Bruce was writing and they were writing and the sun was coming up and. I like the feel of Cream, but I think sometimes the lyrics are just thrown out, thrown.
Well, they're very obscure when you read
obscure,
them.
Yeah.
It's definitely acid trip stuff if you listen to, you know, if you read them. But
yeah.
But marvelous band, you know, beautiful song, love that, and of course Eric went on to greater things later on.
Indeed. Now,
which you would never have expected, because you thought that was it, you know. He's going to leave Cream and that's it. But he went on, of course, to a massive and very illustrious solo career. And, you know, I've never actually seen him live,
no.
Eric. But we do love him. And his bass player, Carl Radle, who was with his finest hour, I think, EC was here in his solo career. Great stuff.
Yeah, talking about great stuff. I saw this lady at the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Feeling Good by the mighty Nina Simone.
Yeah, you know,
kick
incredible
ass.
Incredible voice, and again, a sound of the generation, wasn't it?
It was funny though, because when I saw her, she was quite frail, But she was very feisty as well. And I'd heard stories about she'd been in Paris the week before and she'd kind of only done half an hour set or something really short and just left the stage. And she kept tottering off stage because apparently there was some champagne behind the curtain. So she was going off for a little top up and then going back on. And there was this one lady, she went, "I love you." She shouted out, "I love you, Nina." And she said, "Oh, baby, I love you too." And I
just... That's lovely, isn't it?
It was. And for me, at that point, I was grateful enough to understand that in that moment there was history, that she was a mighty person in music, and I felt very honoured to have had that opportunity to be in the room with her.
Yeah, well, I never saw her live. You know, I've seen lots of videos, and she's spellbinding. I think that's the only word I can use, really, spellbinding.
Yeah, I think her album was called I Put a Spell on You as well.
I Got a Spell on You.
It was actually in 1965. That's where that song was put on. Actually,
is that well?
Feeling good. You can. It's funny though, isn't it?
And this track has been covered by quite a lot of people.
Loads.
You know, Muse did a good version of this.
Yeah.
I like the Muse version.
I did too.
It was, you know, very big and bombastic as Muse is, but I really liked it. Traffic did it and a few other people, you know.
Well, it was originally written for a musical, The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd. That's
is that
when it
right?
first, yes.
The, so it's roar.
In, the Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd.
Wow.
So, yeah, so other people like Eels. We went to see Eels.
We did together.
Well, not together.
Yeah.
We were at the same concert in Manchester seeing the band Eels, and we probably stood about 2 metres away from each other.
We
hadn't met
each
then.
Other. That's right, yeah.
So it's weird. So it's funny that they covered that, and also Joe Bonamassa's covered that song. Mm. And Michael Bublé.
No, Boobles.
Yeah, indeed. And John Coltrane. The list goes on.
Yeah. Well, John Coltrane made a mighty version of it as well.
Mm.
Okay.
Now, this next band, the bass player, she's kick-ass.
Oh, yes.
Run, run, run.
Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads. Wow.
Tina Weymouth on bass.
Yeah, remarkable.
She is, and she's got her own style, which I love. It's very thumpy, and I was watching...
Clunky as well. It's clunky.
Yeah,
but
it is.
It works.
Thumpy, clunky.
Yeah.
But it's a...
But she plays it like it. It's like that tuba sound, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it's like that E-flat tuba. It's like a real great grunting, short scale... bass sound, you know.
Yeah, and what I love about Talking Heads as well is that it didn't. Their success didn't happen overnight. They released a couple of singles. And they didn't really get anywhere. They recorded some demos for CBS, and it ultimately got rejected. And what they did is they just gig relentlessly, and they won people over one by one. And it was this. It was the Psycho Killer that broke them, really.
Well, it was the ultimate art rock band, you know. I mean, you look at them because they're so. David Byrne is such a charismatic and enigmatic figure in music, and he's always done great stuff. You know, I've always respected him. And when you see an interview with him, he's very deep and thoughtful. He reminds me of like an American version of Brian Eno, because Brian Eno's that sort of thing, you know.
They're kind of art school heads, aren't they, those guys?
And, you know, and we subscribe to... Dark Shark, as he's called, that's Brian Eno on Twitter. So we see his feeds, and he's a really interesting guy, and he comes up with some obscure facts every day, and really nice, you know, obscure concepts, and you know, great. But Talking Heads again. I mean, the thing with Talking Heads is that they did that marvelous film called Stop Making Sense that was produced. I can't remember the director of it, sadly, but it was probably the best live video of all time, and he starts off. With this track, and he comes on with like an old-fashioned ghetto blaster playing the drums, or that's what it looks like. Of course, it's not. It's probably the PA or whatever, but on his own. And then it builds up, and they wheel things onto the set. And as they wheel things onto the set, his suit gets bigger. He puts a bigger suit on. And eventually, he's this little thin... He's quite a thin guy, and he's got this enormous bloody suit on. And it is such a remarkable, remarkable piece of art, theatre, you know, just great. And I love Talking Heads. You know,
that inspires me, actually, because I've got a bit of a theatre background as well, trained at Salford, and I love to have that kind of theatrical element in a performance with the music. And I love the way that the concept of that whole Stop Making Sense video. Beautiful.
Son, won't you stay and keep Annalee company?
The Wait by The Band.
Yeah. Well, that album, Songs from the Big Pink, was only got on my radar about, well, I don't know, about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, because I've always known about the band. I've always listened to them. I always knew they were, you know, Bob Dylan's backing band originally. And the songs have always been there, but I never really got into them until we did The Knife, the album, and Christian was playing on it. Christian Madden, who's a keyboard player and works with us live quite a bit. He's currently touring with Liam Gallagher, believe it.
Yeah,
or not,
get in there.
Yeah, get in there, lad. And he was talking about them, and he said you must listen more. So we sat down and we listened intently to this one. And the Brown album, which is called the album is Brown, that's why it's called that.
Mm.
But, you know, great songs. And they were all done, again, live in the same room, restricted number of tracks. We saw the making of this. There's a programme, Classic Albums, on YouTube, and Robbie Robertson was talking about it. And, you know, they had the same problems that the Beatles did, limited number of tracks, so they had to bounce stuff over. And he said it's a miracle that it sounds like it does. And, of course, they were doing it live, and I think this took 50-odd takes to do. 50-odd, and they said they were totally sick of it because that break where it comes in with the vocals is a really odd time, and apparently they kept buggering it up, you know?
And also the, you could tell, can't you, the way the harmonies come. Yeah. The bass is really complicated on that. Just to get that groove, when I play it on my short scale, it's really, you've just got to relax with it and let it take you because it's got this bounce about it. And it's quite deceptive because you don't realise until you start to play it, actually, that it's quite a difficult piece.
But all these, a lot of these songs, you know, they really are intricate. It's like, you know, Paul McCartney's bass parts. And, you know, everybody talks about the Beatles and the songwriting and the production and all that sort of thing. But his bass is very intricate and very detailed, you know. And it was a lot of the sound of the Beatles.
It's really weird you talking about Paul McCartney in relation to the band because 2 months after they released Big Pink, the Beatles were on the David Frost show, and when as they were fading out, this one of the songs they were singing,
Hey Jude,
Paul McCartney starts singing the line from The Wait, Take a Load Off Fanny,
right?
So they were on his radar then.
Well, the Beatles were master plagiarists, weren't they?
Well,
because,
yeah.
You listen to the stuff, you
but
know,
everybody
Pet Sounds
could
came
have
out
mentioned.
With the Beach Boys, yeah. And then all of a sudden there'd be stuff springing up, there'd be, you know, Indian music
sharing
springing
is
up.
Caring.
Yeah, baby, sharing is caring.
And the funny thing is, I found out about the band, I've got a mate called Jim Tullio who runs Butcher Boy Studios in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he messaged me, he'd messaged about a friend dying. And I said I didn't know who Levon Helm was. And he went, you don't know the band? I went, no. And he went, oh, my God, you know, you've got to find out about the band. So that's how I found out. And so it's just, and of course that just means when you know somebody who's been really
directly
good,
connected to
it. Yeah. And what I love about it, and it's not a brag thing, by the way, it's a connecting up of family. While we're all alive on the planet, I love being on the road, I love meeting people because we're all connected.
Well,
you know?
One of the drummers that I always want, since really getting into it, I always wanted to work with him, and anybody died, you know?
I know.
I know it probably would never have happened, you know, but who are we, you know? But it's really, really, you know, he's a great singer and a great drummer, great lazy, but he has a certain groove to him that is quite unique, you know?
And there's one last bit of trivia, which I think is beautiful, because, you know, you were born in Ramsbottom.
I certainly was.
And then, you know, that's, and actually when I first heard of Ramsbottom, I didn't believe that it was a real name. I thought someone was winding me up.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, Levon Helm was born in Turkey Scratch.
No.
Arkansas.
Fantastic.
Well, you're listening to Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band, and this is the Supertone Show.
It moves like a virus.
the Police. That's LCD Sound System.
Pretty new album last year, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It was released May 5th last year.
Yeah, a lot of people compare him to Bowie and all sort of things. But I hear the Killers in that.
That's what I thought.
And I like that. I love the guitar riffs. You know, some really nice little lines in there and, you know.
What was interesting about them as well, you know, when they first played this song, they asked the crowd, because it was before they actually officially released it, not to film it because they wanted to release it properly.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it was one of the encore songs from one of their live sets just for the worldwide release of it.
Fantastic. Great band, though.
So that's it for this week's episode of the Supertone Show.
Yeah, you can get us on podcast at supertonerecords.com, Mixcloud, iTunes, Spotify, we're everywhere.
Everywhere, and it's a weekly show, and thanks for joining us. It means a lot to us.
And we're going to leave you with the master.